This podcast is part of the Game and Entertainment Network. Visit tgenetwork.net to find the latest episodes from all our shows.
Welcome to the Pixels and Dice Podcast, a show by gamers, for gamers. We cover everything from Mario to Munchkin, role-playing to retro games, and everything in between. Now, without further ado, let's get on with the show.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Scormus.
And I'm Baelis.
And what's coming up this Saturday?
Well, that would be International Tabletop Day, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, I know maybe not a whole lot of people have heard about that. We usually talk about it, you know, once a year, you know, just before it comes up. It's basically, you know, not quite a holiday, but it's meant to... Wil Wheaton was one of the major forces behind it. And right. The whole point is to get people back into their game stores, get them back sitting around the dining room table with friends, playing board games and card games and pen and paper role-playing games, whatever. Just get people playing games together again. And so they started this event to, you know, you have more and more game stores and, you know, groups like YMCAs and whatnot jumping on board and having events at their locations, getting kids involved, trying to bring them away from the computers and their tablets and their phones and sit them down in front of, you know, Settlers of Catan and teaching them how to play a game, teaching them how to play Magic the Gathering or whatever, and trying to get people more involved in the hobby because it's not quite what it used to be anymore.
No, it's not. And I highly recommend that any kid be taught how to play Magic the Gathering. Because you can almost guarantee if they get into Magic the Gathering, they're not going to have the money to get into drugs.
There is that.
It just won't happen. You'll be buying the latest, greatest, you know, expansion pack that comes out, and you just won't have the money to do it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that leads to its own bad path. I remember seeing friends sell all their role-playing books just so that they could go buy more Magic cards.
Yes.
And like, why? Why would you had such a good collection and now it's all gone? Well, I wasn't playing those games anyway. So?
Well, these are the same kind of people that, you know, they'll buy a video game. They'll play it until they've beat it or until they've just, you know, they're tired of it. And then they sell it back to the store for pittance and buy the latest, greatest game that's come out. And they're like, oh, you know, I really liked that game. I wonder what happened to it. You sold it, dumbass. Yeah. Now you want to play it again, and you sold it. Me? Mine's still sitting on the shelf. Why? Because I don't get rid of any of my games. Just in case I decide I want to play them again.
Yeah. I'm sitting here looking across the room, and I've got The Trail of House on the Hill, Deluxe Munchkin, and Forbidden Desert just sitting there on one of my computers. One of those, Forbidden Desert, I've never even unwrapped. It's still, you know, the tin is still wrapped in cellophane. I bought it because, damn, I saw that on the YouTube show Tabletop. Again,
right.
Wil Wheaton and friends. Back when they actually were doing that on YouTube exclusively. I'm not going to pay to watch that show on Alpha. Sorry, not going to do it. But it's a fun little game. It looks awesome. my wife and I were like, we want to have that. So we bought it. And haven't had a chance to actually play it with anybody.
Hmm.
Much like Gloom. Gloom looks like a freaking amazing game. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. I can curse on this show. Fucking amazing game. I bought all kinds of supplements for it. It's just a superb, kind of an Addams Family type of feel to it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Never played it.
Hmm.
Now, that's supposed to be being resolved this coming Saturday because for International Tabletop Day, we're planning to get together with our friends up in Portland and break out Gloom and break out whatever other games we can come up with. And we're gonna play.
Yeah.
Because they've played Gloom quite a bit. They know the rules. So we're gonna learn how to play. My problem is this shouldn't be one day a year. You know? It's great that we have an International Tabletop Day. But can't we do this twice a year? Can't we come up with another thing to drive people to the game stores and encourage people to play? There's got to be more to this. And it got me thinking, you know, it's hard when you're an adult to sit down and play a board game or break out the magic cards or whatever, right?
Well, time constraints, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and your friends, I mean, I remember playing with the old group, our old gaming group back in the early to mid-90s, mm-hmm. down in our, Coos Bay where we used to live, my wife and I. We played with the Bachelors of the Apocalypse. We've all moved hundreds of miles away from each other. I haven't seen those guys in years. Got invited to one of them's getting married this August. Gonna see him then. He doesn't live that far away from us. I haven't seen him in a decade.
Hmm.
And, you know, fine. We've obviously never played together in years and years, but we could just by leveraging some technology.
Yeah.
They've all got computers. Why can't we, I don't know. Well, role-playing would be simple enough. I mean, there's software for that where you can even do maps and miniatures and all that and have a game master with various tools for rolling the dice and keeping track of characters. That's all great. That's wonderful. But just wanting to play a board game together. I've seen, I don't know if you ever watched the Angry Joe show on mm-hmm. YouTube.
Yeah.
Okay. He, for a while, he hasn't done it recently, but for a while there, he was, like once a month would do a video where they were playing a role-playing game, but more often it was board games they would play. He and his friends. And they had one camera aimed at the table and another camera aimed at each player, basically. And so you could see what they were doing. And this is the audio mix all put together. It's a little complicated, obviously. You could do it a lot easier just with one camera. But let's say my wife and I wanted to play with you and your wife, but we couldn't get together because there's a snowstorm.
Right.
Well, most board games, I guess we could, you know, just roll, you could roll your dice and we'll move your character. We've got the board. We'll just have a camera on it. People play chess that way all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So why aren't we leveraging this technology?
It's inconvenient, maybe?
I would say it's not so much inconvenient. It's more, it takes kind of the soul of the experience away to some degree.
Well, it's supposed to be family time. And if the family is in a different state or a different area, it's not as intimate, not as enjoyable, I guess you'd say.
Perhaps. But let's say I've got friends that used to, let's say we used to play card games together, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now they're half a world away. It may not be the same card game. It may not be Magic Gathering, but we can jump on and both play Hearthstone against each other for free.
Mm-hmm.
And throw, you know, have a Discord server and talk and have a great time. Basically doing the same thing we used to do, sitting at a table across from each other playing Magic.
Yeah.
Hell, you could do that with Magic the Gathering. They've got software for it.
Oh, yeah.
In fact,
they've got several.
Yeah, there's a, I guess they're working on a version of online Magic the Gathering that's more similar to Hearthstone. Kind of dumbs it down a little bit to make it more enticing for the kids. I know.
Dumbing down a game does not make it enticing to kids. Kids know the rules better than us old fogies.
Exactly. They probably have better decks, too.
Oh, that's for certain. I stopped playing a long time ago when it just became too much of a money draw.
Yeah. I think I stopped buying cards when The Dark came out.
Yeah.
My wife and I bought a full box of boosters and split it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the last money I spent on Magic. That was a really long time ago. But anyway, that's not the point. I know it's not the same. But like in the pre-show we were talking about, you used to play Uno online.
Oh yeah, all the time.
And I remember our parents. Remember when we were kids and we would go over and visit our aunt and uncle every Saturday night? Mm-hmm. And we'd sit and watch Wonder Woman and The Love Boat and other shows that were on. And then eventually there was that creature feature show like around midnight from the old Portland station.
Mm-hmm.
We'd watch that or play with our cousins and whatnot. And our parents would sit with our aunt and uncle, and they'd play Uno or Bridge or something every single weekend. Now, there's plenty of software out there to do mm-hmm. those same games online. You can choose your opponents and whatnot. What if they were 2,000-3,000 miles apart? Why couldn't they jump on computers and do that now? Well, I mean, obviously there's three of the four are dead. So, you know, that's not going to work. But let's say it was you and I and our wives.
Yeah.
We could do the same freaking thing. We've all got, each of us have our own computer. We can throw up, we have obviously a Discord server. Bam. Every Saturday, we could play games together.
I'm up for that.
Well, it's more a thing of your wife and my wife have no interest, but...
Well, that is true.
I mean, that's fine. And, you know, thing is, the point being, does the tabletop really need to be a part of this anymore?
It's a nice feature to have. It's just not necessary.
Yes, these are supposed to be social games, especially the pen and paper role-playing. But if you take that out of the situation, if there was an online version of Betrayal on House on the Hill, or an online version of Munchkin, or Forbidden Desert. I mean, there are some classic board games out there that are online versions, and you can choose your opponents and you can all get together and do your gaming. It's yes, being in the same room together is nice. It's intimate. You can joke and laugh and everything. I would say being online really is virtually the same thing. Purists may not approve of that, but come on. We've been sitting here for hours talking online on this Discord server, recording podcast episodes.
Mm-hmm.
You used to come over to my house and record them sitting next to each other on the couch. before we had a Discord server.
But this works easier.
Right. This is easier. It works better for us. And the sound quality is improved.
Well, that's been a lot of work, too.
Yes. But all in all, it's been an improvement. And we're still having that same interaction. Other than you getting, you know, my dog climbing up in your lap.
You got good dogs, though.
Yes, yes. He just really, really likes you. Oh, he'd come over and just lay his head on your lap. That's how he hugs.
Yes.
But anyway, so, yeah. And so, you know, yeah, this International Tabletop Day. It's great. I love the idea. I think it's awesome. I hope it continues. I think it's great that it's drawing people, not just kids, but adults, people, back to the local game stores. To even if it is just once a year, go in there, see what's there, maybe pick up a game. That's like Christmas.
Buy local.
Yeah. I mean, sure, Amazon may have a better price, but if you go into the local store and you pay a dollar or two more, you have it right there in your hands. You don't have to wait for shipping. You don't have to, you know, hope it doesn't get stolen off your porch. You've got that right there. And you can not only have it right there, you can rip it open and play the game. Usually they'll have tables and bam, sit down and play a game with friends. Moreover,
One of the other benefits is if you get it there, the person who runs the gaming store has probably played it and can answer questions about it in a lot of cases.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, not even that. On International Tabletop Day, they're usually demoing games. Mm-hmm. So you go in and maybe that's a game you would never have thought of playing. But hey, you watch not only watch it being played, you can sit down and play it with somebody and go, you know, this is a freaking great game. Where is that game? Oh, it's right there. I'm going to pick that up.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, maybe not with, you know, Magic the Gathering. That's a little more esoteric and maybe it's a little off-putting. But if you see a group of people sitting down there and they've got Deluxe Munchkin, you don't think that's going to draw people to want to play?
Well, and going back to Magic the Gathering, the one nice thing about Magic the Gathering, it's really easy to get into. You just spend your $10 or whatever it happens to be to buy a full pre-made deck.
Yeah.
You're ready to start playing right now. All the rules on how to play the game and how to use that particular deck are right there that come with that deck box.
Yeah. And the last I heard, the newest pre-made, I think, Commander sets are all legal for Standard. So whether you want to get into tournament play or not, you at least got the Standard rules right there, and you're legal to play against anybody for the most part. As long as their deck is Standard legal. Now, I know that right there might be off-putting. None of my decks are Standard legal. I haven't bought cards in 20-something years. So.
Yeah.
Man, I don't think I've bought cards since like 95 or 96. I still can't believe the game goes back that far. Anyway.
Yes.
What are you looking forward to with International Tabletop Day this year?
Well, I would like to play some more Magic the Gathering, just because I haven't played for like 2 years.
Well, if you're coming up to same place I am, I'll bring a deck.
And I wouldn't mind getting to try out Joking Hazard.
I have it.
I know. I bought it for my wife.
Yeah.
And we haven't had a chance to play it. Also, Exploding Kittens. I played it a couple times, me and the wife. And, but I got the expansion for it, Imploding Kittens.
Yeah.
Which added a whole new facet to the game.
Right.
So I'm looking forward to trying those out.
Yeah. I know. I was looking more forward to trying, like I said, Gloom.
Mm-hmm.
That's a game I really want to play. But also, I wouldn't mind breaking out a game we've never played before. You know, like Forbidden Desert, for example. It's a cooperative game. Everybody's trying to work together against a changing board. Every turn something else happens that changes the way the board is laid out. And you have to try and work around these hazards to collect all the parts you need. Because basically, I think the idea is you've crashed in the desert. Your plane, whatever it is a plane or a dirigible or whatever, has crashed in the desert and all these parts have been scattered around. You have to go and find all the parts and get them back to the location so that you can escape before the board becomes, you know, cuts you off from one of the parts, and then you lose. If you can't get to it, you can't escape and you all die.
So it's the board game version of Toe Jam and Earl.
I don't know. I haven't played Toe Jam and Earl forever.
That's the same basic concept. Their ship crashes and they have to go out and collect all the pieces so they can fly back to the planet Funkatron.
Ah. Well, this is maybe perhaps a little more serious, but I've watched it played, obviously, on tabletop, and there's another version of it as well. It's not Forbidden Desert. It's Forbidden something else. And same basic idea. Everybody works together to escape, and every character has certain abilities that are a little different from each other. They all have something special they can do that makes it, you know, the way they play a little different. Maybe you can send this person out after that part because they can travel faster or get further in a move or whatever. Maybe you've got, if I remember right, there's like a pilot character. You want to keep that person near the plane. Because if you get cut off from the plane, you're screwed as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, haven't watched it in a while. We'd have to learn together. I'll probably find that old video and watch it again just to make sure I know how to play it. Or at least have an idea before we start.
Right.
But it's just one of those games where it's like, damn, that looks super fun. Because you're not competing against each other. Even with Betrayal on House on the Hill, it's cooperative until it's not. One player gets exposed as, yeah, they're the bad guy. Now everybody is against them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, maybe I'm kind of in a mood to do something where it's unlike Magic the Gathering, unlike most tabletop games, you're not competing against the people around you. You're working with them, trying to cooperate, and it's like the anti-Munchkin, you know? Although Munchkin has its own place, too.
Sounds fun.
And, of course, Cards Against Humanity. I would really like to play that again.
That's a given.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we can only fit so many games into the day. So we'll have to see how it goes. But
yep.
Excuse me. I have this nagging cough.
Yes, we've noticed.
So, any other thoughts on board games, card games, anything about International Tabletop Day you'd like to talk about?
No, I just need to win the lottery so I can spend more time gaming.
I would say everybody should, if you can go to the notes on this podcast, I have a link to the website for International Tabletop Day. And at their website, you can look up where there are events in your area. And although it might be a little late, you might even be able to register an event if you wanted to do one off the cuff. You know, hey, we're going to go down to our local church, you know, and got approval to lay out some tables in the, you know, down in the basement, and going to play, I don't know, Risk or something like that. You're going to break out some, you know, games and do that. Or maybe you're going to go down to the local rec center or the preferably the local game store. Get to know your local game store. Go in there, throw some money around, and bring something home. Make them happy. Keep them alive. And moreover, just, you know, get to know other gamers in the area. That's another great use for International Tabletop Day, because sure, maybe you've got your own little friend of, you know, your own little group of gamers you are friends with. Maybe there's people that have just recently moved to town, or you haven't met, or you just, they haven't come into your circle of experience before, and could completely change your gaming group.
Yeah.
It's kind of awesome. I mean, I don't know if you remember, what was it back in around 2000? My wife and I, down at our local game store, I put up a sign on the bulletin board saying, hey, looking for people to play role-playing games with, that sort of thing, right? D&D, whatnot. No historical gamers. What did they turn out to be? Historical gamers. But lots of fun. We did a lot of Vampire the Masquerade with those guys. Played a lot. They were the guys who got me into 3.0.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, we haven't seen them in years, but they were a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was kind of cool. All because I went down to the local game store and put up a notice.
Yeah, well. We do need to see our local game stores more often.
Yeah.
TimeSync had to close.
Did they?
Because there just wasn't enough. Oh, yeah, they closed like 6 months ago.
Oh.
He intends to come back. It's just they were having financial issues, health issues. There was just a whole bunch of things going on that he just couldn't keep the store open.
Yeah, well, we tried going in there, and we just didn't like the staff. They were kind of, what's the word? Rude. And really just not helpful. Also, the store looked horrible.
Well, yeah, that was
a problem. We went in there a couple times, and you know what? It's much easier for us to go to our store that's, you know, on this side of town, and maybe the staff is a little sterile. You know, they're too busy. They're, you know, handling everybody at once, and you really don't know them very well, so they're a little cold personality wise but they're not rude, and the store doesn't look like trash. Just saying.
Yeah,
I'm sure the owner of TimeSync was very nice.
Oh, yes.
But he didn't hire good people.
Yeah, they were probably friends of his.
Yeah, whatever. But I think the only money we spent there was buying dice. And it was only because I felt like I had to buy something.
Because
there was nothing else worth buying in there.
Oh, they had a lot of stuff that I wanted, but I just, at the time, didn't have a whole lot of free money coming in.
Yeah, well, sure, there was some, you know, board games that I would have normally spent, you know, hey, yeah, that looks good, and maybe I'll buy that. But it was like $50, and I wasn't going to throw that kind of money at them.
Yeah.
Yeah, am I a little vindictive, a little petty? Eh, a little
you?
Bit.
Always?
Not always. Just don't be a dick to me when I walk in the door. Just saying. And then when they're, you know, we're looking at their dice and they're like, oh, what do you play? Oh, we play a little Pathfinder. Oh, what do you, that's not module, but whatever. They assume we're doing Pathfinder Society stuff. Nope. Not doing that. Oh, why not? That's what Pathfinder's about. No, it's a role-playing game, and you can make your own adventures. You don't have to do stuff somebody else has written. I'm a dungeon master. I know how to write my own adventures. Yeah. Anyway, so that kind of was a little off-putting.
Well, you know, people shouldn't assume.
Anyway, so rather than going a full 45 minutes like we have been doing recently on these unedited shows, why don't we tie this one up?
Okay.
So, till next time, I'm Scormus.
And I'm Bayless.
Generic catchphrase ending.
Thanks for listening to the Pixels and Dice podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please check out our other content at gamingstuff.website. We have articles, videos, and lots more to enjoy there. So until next time, generic catchphrase ending.